All right, we are back with you here on AM 1320. It's about 3 minutes after 9, and we do have our guests in studio. We'll be talking to our guests from My Chef Laura, and we have My Chef. We have Home Plate Advantage. We also have Laura with us as well. We have Deb from Chef Deb from Dinner Time, THYME. And we're going to be joined by another gentleman who will be in studio in just a couple of moments as well. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Dominic.
Boy, that was great. Oh, everybody's in tune this morning. All right. Of course, it's our weekly or monthly. It seems like it's a weekly, but it's our monthly chef's table. First off, we have our guests in studio. We have My Chef Laura. We have Laura from Home Plate Advantage. We have Chef Deb from Dinner Time. And we have the awesome Norbert, Chef Norbert as well.
Yay!
All right, since the last time we spoke, there was some interesting things going on. First of all, congratulations to Laura. You were nominated. You want to tell us a little something? We have a celebrity in studio.
We have a celebrity in-house.
Yeah, so what is going on, Laura?
Well, I was, to back up a little bit, all of us are part of the United States Personal Chef Association. And we have our annual conference every year, obviously annual. Mm-hmm. And this year it was down in San Antonio. And this wonderful group of people to my left here nominated me as Chef of the Year. So I was up for Chef of the Year. Mm-hmm. I did not win, but the person who did was very, very well deserving. So there's no hard feelings. I'm just honored to be nominated in the first place. Yeah, so I'm Chef of the Year here in New England.
Hey, that's fine. You know, yesterday when I heard about this and got this, you had mentioned that Laura was a nomination on this. I was thinking of one thing. I was thinking on my mind, Chef of the Future from the Honeymooners.
Oh,
from Jackie Gleason was a Chef of the Future with him and Art Carney. So was one thing. I did. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. That's a great honor
to be nominated. That of course. So that is really, really great.
But I tell you, I didn't win Chef of the Year, but can I tell everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
As I said, we have an annual conference, and, you know, of course, we're pretty proud of our area, and we had hoped to have it up here this year. But we did go to San Antonio, and after we had the award ceremony, they announced that conference is in Providence, Rhode Island next
Yay!
Year.
Yay! Yay!
So we are super pumped.
Yeah, it'll be close to home this time.
It'll be close to home for a lot of people,
that's for sure. And I think Norbert was saying that it possibly, they don't know where, probably be the convention center, right?
Most likely in the convention center,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there are 150 personal chefs from mm-hmm. all over the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico, they are attending.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of chefs coming.
And it's great because Providence has so much to offer the foodie scene, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's great to have it on the map. It's great to get more people here to know what Rhode Island and our area has to offer.
And what personal chefs are. Everybody thinks we are an employee of somebody.
That's right. You're not caterers. You're not professionals.
Right,
that's a bad word if you're saying something like that.
And that's nothing against good caterers.
No,
we're a little different.
That's for sure. It's also, I think, the second or third time that Deb has been here from Dinner Time. Talk a little about your company.
Well, I've been Dinner Time. I've been cooking for a lot of people. It seems lately I've been having a lot of clients that either they or someone in their family is having health issues, and so they just need a little bit of help with meal preparation. We've been doing some dinner parties, bridal shower, baby shower luncheons. So there's a lot of good things going on. And I also went to San Antonio, met a lot of great people, got a lot of good ideas. So a lot of exciting things.
Now, when was this this conference held? It was recently, right?
July.
Yes.
End of July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, you probably met, like you said, a lot of interesting people out there, a lot of professional chefs that did. Are there similar tastes from, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, the Midwest that you've seen?
It varies wildly.
Yeah.
It varies wildly. I mean, we had great, obviously, what do we do when we go somewhere? We want to go taste the local, whatever the local is. So we had fabulous Mexican food. There was obviously barbecue, right? Texas barbecue. So we're always trying to find all of the local places mm-hmm. that to go. And we had some great, we had a keynote speaker that owned a Mexican restaurant that we then were welcomed several. And the food was just fabulous to have authentic Mexican food. So it was really good. And finding out the difference between what's Tex-Mex and what's Mexican. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things we'll definitely be looking for in the Rhode Island area when the personal chefs come here, is really finding where's the good local food. You know, what is local New England? Of course, everyone says fish.
Yeah,
but,
seafood stuff. Yeah.
We have so many great, you know, Federal Hill, you know, for the Italians. We have wonderful Portuguese food, right? So we'll definitely be...
And German.
Yes.
No, of course.
So we'll be torturing ourselves this next year going to restaurants and finding...
You have to throw in the German stuff because I mean, usually
there's always a good Irish pub there too.
Yeah, that's right. There's a little bit of everything here in Rhode Island. There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can like what you. I mean, I know Rhode Island is considered, you know, as you said, seafood, and you know, with down by the beaches and stuff like that. But you can get that at most any restaurant. But yeah, it's a nice flavor. You've got in this New England area, especially Rhode Island, nearby Southeastern Mass. You've got a little bit of everything out there. So
it's really cool because there's a lot of like small batch type people. We have the small batch distillers. We have mm-hmm. breweries. We have small farms that are making phenomenal cheeses. We have honey people. We have
vineyards.
Everything that's here that I don't think people think of New England mm-hmm. for that.
I think the hard
part is
going to be coming up with a short list.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Anissa's job.
With us, of course, we have our professional chefs in studio, but right now we also have another, non-professional chef, I think. Jim Corbin joins us with our next check on the forecast. Jim?
Well, I recently learned to boil hot dogs, but no, I'm only I can cook it reasonably well, but speaking of cooking, of course, we have temperature-wise over the last 2 days. The trend is towards somewhat less hot but continuing humid, in fact, and I'll be very quick. I just took a DuPont reading, 72. That's the highest it's been for the last few days. It is very humid out there. Temperatures are closing in on 80 degrees, but because the wind is out of the south, we're going to reach around 86, maybe 87 this afternoon. Unlike yesterday, I don't think we'll see any showers. Tonight, falling down to about 70, so another night of tough sleeping without air conditioning, or at the very least, a fan. And then tomorrow, it looks like clouds early and sunshine, high of about 83. And then we will get into some showers, it looks like, by Friday afternoon. That could continue into a portion of the weekend. Still a little up in the air as to how much rain we'll get this weekend, but I do expect we'll have at least some shower activity, possibly both Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. All right. We'll talk to you in just a bit again, about half hour from now.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Talk a little bit about the conference that was helping in San Antonio. How you got there and what happened, some of the details that happened last month.
I'll jump in. Okay. Sure, why not? First of all, I just want to say I was like really happy to see, you know, San Antonio is not the easiest place to get to, I don't think. For us, it's for me, it was two flights that were
long
and I won't even go into that right now, but when you arrive at the airport and there's like that your flight doesn't exist and you're saying it does, it's on paper, but you know, I got there.
Yeah. Did you go out of Boston?
I did.
See, you need to go out of Providence. That works better.
Mm-hmm. Not always.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my Providence story another time. Anyway, getting down there, getting settled, it's not an easy thing, and, you know, not everybody can make it, but I was really happy to see so many of us down there, which was great. We had a great showing for New England. There were five of us total, which is a good chunk of our active community for our mm-hmm. chapter, which I was thrilled. But, you know, it's something that all new chefs should definitely go to, because it is that experience of learning some of the businesses and some of the techniques and being exposed to food and, you know, different things, but also just meeting the other chefs from mm-hmm. around the country, because that is so important. As we've touched upon, we work alone, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are lucky to have partners, but we essentially work alone, and it gets lonely, and we sometimes lose touch with things, and it's a great way to just say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I know that, or what are you doing, mm-hmm. or... And then I think, too, you know, they had one of the classes was a panel, and just seeing what some of our chefs are doing. I mean, they're running empires. They're not just cooking anymore. Right. Like, you know, it's just amazing some of the possibilities. And I know personally, I don't know about you guys, because you guys have been to a couple of conferences now, and Deb definitely want to have you speak about being a first-time attendee, but, you know, I've been to a couple conferences, and I just find it's like a recharge of your battery, because you do get worn down a little, you start to get in a rut a little bit, or you feel like, okay, I love what I do, and I'm doing the best that I'm going to do with my business, but sometimes mentally you get a little dull, and I think conference just kind of, you come home and go, cool, I love this job, and I want to do it, and I have all these great ideas now, and it recharges you and gets you excited again about what we do.
Now, as far as since, you know, you came here, you came to the to that conference, you went to the conference, were there any new recipes out there? Are there new recipes that you can look at down the line for some of the other chefs?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Laura sent me some great recipes I put out on the website. Mm-hmm. So if people go to mychieflaura.com, there's a link to Home Plate Advantage from there. And so there's some of the things that we do at the conference are talking about very specific types of cuisine. So some of the quote-unquote, some of the more difficult cuisines to reach out to people for. So vegan, perhaps, or, you know, non-dairy, or, you know, all the specialty, medically possibly cuisines. So that gives us a way to talk to experts in those fields to really learn a little bit more about what's accessible, what's available. There's so much out there now. And really to get personal chefs hooked into that, what does it mean to be a vegan, and what does it mean to be a vegetarian, and probiotics, and like all these things that are important, right, in the cooking, exactly. So Laura provided us with two recipes that are up on the website, mychieflaura.com, and one's a pesto, which is fabulous. It has all sorts of nuts, pistachios being one of my favorite. So the pesto is wonderful. It freezes well, which is great about pesto. You can make, I still have stuff in my freezer from a few months ago from making pesto. You know, you make it a big batch of it and you dole it out into little things and you put it in, and you can put it on fish, you could put it on pasta, you could, chicken.
Are you interested
in anything? So so it's a great recipe, so please look it up. And it was part of a vegan, or
it was vegan cooking,
we had gone together. Healing Cuisines. It was a that was actually one of my favorite parts of the conference was a small culinary school in Austin, Texas, the Natural Epicurean. They focus on plant-based cuisine, and they did a workshop on the five healing cuisines, and this was actually, both of those recipes came from there.
Yeah, they had served it over a seared tofu, and I tell you, you know, tofu can be a little boring, to be honest, and I eat it, I like it, but it can be boring. This pesto just made this dish. It was so good.
Yeah, I think it would be great on pizza.
On anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
I mean, I this is the one, the Sicilian nut pesto, which is the one, and I was looking at that earlier this morning. I went, wow. I mean, and the serving is 24, which is...
It's 24 servings, right?
24
so
servings.
So it's not 24 people.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Unless you have two people and eat the whole thing, you know?
Well... and so that's a great recipe. Go on the site, and there's a link right from the homepage to get those recipes for our listeners.
Grilled peaches too, like we're in peach season right
now. Grill the peaches.
It'd be grilled peaches and that on top.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah.
So pesto is wonderful because you can apply. I mean, there's so many applications to pesto that it's crazy. You can pretty much put it on whatever you want to.
And then that corn soup. It was so simple, and I'm like so much. If it's too simple, it can't taste good. I'm really, I have a bad prejudice that way, and have to open my mind. It was good, you know, and I would add a little salt and pepper personally, but I thought the recipe was good, and it's something that anybody can make.
This is another one, the creamy corn soup with dulse. That's, now these are something that you said that you just, that you you found at the
conference. Yeah,
it was part
conference. Of one of our classes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to use dulse. If the people don't know what dulse is, it's like a sea green, right?
Right.
So very nutritious, very good for you. If you can't find it, you can always substitute kale or seaweed.
Well,
it's
kind of the vegan bacon, actually.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Toasted it up and had a little bit of like that smoky earthiness to it, so yeah. It was, I mean, you know, it's not for everybody.
Right, yeah.
You can use bacon if you know you're a bacon eater, by all means.
Now, Deb, this was the first time for you out there. You know, what were you expecting on this, and, you know, did it... did you get all that you needed to get out of
it? I definitely got a lot out of it. It was really exciting. I mean, there were workshops. You know, I've been in, my business has been open for just about a year now, but it's the first kind of conference that I went to like this. And so There was classes on marketing, on the business aspect of it. There were cooking demonstrations. There was tequila tasting. I mean, there was a little bit of everything. And I mean, I have to say, it's one of the few conferences I've gone to that I can say I got something out of every single workshop I went to.
Yeah, and of course, Norbert didn't get anything out of this one, right? Yeah, he doesn't.
No, actually, when you just mentioned the tequila tasting, I was in a different class.
We didn't say
class.
German tequila, did we?
No. I was in a different class at that time, and it was about tea preparation. And it was so boring that I texted Lara and I said, Lara, it is boring here. And then she said, come over to tequila. Here is good.
Why not?
So I left that class and went over to the tequila, and it was good.
Yeah,
really,
it was yeah.
Good. Yes.
Why was it so boring? I mean, was it just kept on going?
Yeah, it was more. It was not what I expected about the teas. No, it
yes,
wasn't.
It was. I expected more of a cooking with tea because that's a very big thing. I love to cook with tea. As a matter of fact, it's a fabulous.
They had recipes though.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought. So. But it was really more about how long to steep certain teas, and really more about, and you know, some people love that. But it was really more about drink, like how to prepare tea to drink, right, and to serve, as opposed to cooking with tea. So. So yeah, it was just different than what I thought it was going to be. I was hoping for more. Cooking with tea is a fabulous thing. If people haven't done it, green tea, black tea, there's all sorts of teas.
Laura's done a great recipe with tea back from the food tasting.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We had the Literacy Center International Food Tasting, and this group participated as well, which yay.
Yeah.
We did really well. But I had done a Lady Grey infused cream puff. So the cream had Lady Grey tea in it. Dom, I think you tried one.
Yeah. At least one or two.
And you survived.
I'm still here, yes. Can't wait for another one, though.
And actually, yesterday, ironically, it was from the conference. It was a recipe from the conference. Norbert helped me out. I have a little bit of a bad back going on, so Norbert helped me out yesterday cooking, and Chef Deb, the other Chef Deb, helped me on Monday. But we did it was a Daljeeling sweet potato. So roasting sweet potatoes up with Daljeeling tea. And it just added a really nice little flavor going on.
Great,
and not something I would have thought of.
And I make an Earl Grey fudge, you know, that's fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when we talk about food and drink at this,
I know. I'm sorry, I didn't bring any Earl Grey.
That's okay. we always get that
tea
hungry.
Smoked salmon too, and there's so many different ways that we don't think of to use tea. It's so true. But
you can use tea and salmon. How would you
tea
prepare?
Smoked.
Tea smoked.
Tea smoked.
How would you prepare it?
With the tea leaves.
Tea leaves and sugar on foil because the sugar will melt and destroy your pan. I do it in a wok. So you have your wok. Piece of foil, sugar, and tea leaves, and then a rack over that, and then your salmon, and then of course a good solid lid, and just turn on the heat, let it go, and it does start to smoke
and
infuses
very, very
nice
quickly.
Flavor.
I imagine
it takes about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah,
but it's really good.
Sounds
really,
good.
Really
wow.
good. Another thing that I think surprised me is Texas wines. Like, never went to Texas for wine in my head, and they were really good.
They were really good.
Nice selection, a nice surprise, definitely.
Nice.
Excuse me, Dominic.
Yeah.
Which one's Lara the loser?
What? Yes. Laura, that's the...
I think he said Lara.
I think he means Laura. I'm not.
Well, there's a car out there. It says Lara, L-A-R-A, on
that's
the bumper
me.
Sticker.
That's
okay.
No, that's my car.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Is it the red one or
yes.
is it the...
No, red one.
The red
that's,
one.
That's his
mine.
Car. That's
but
his
okay.
car.
There
German,
is another
the
one.
Little German car out there?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Well, somebody here lost Chef of the Year.
No,
oh, that's Laura.
Okay, Laura. All right. I was just going to say
she's nominated, but no, she's not a loser.
She won the nomination.
But
she didn't lose.
This station is reaching great heights now in the community.
Yeah.
And we don't help our brand by bringing losers into the studio.
Hey, wait a
minute. My heavens.
She's been with us for almost a year.
I'll just take you outside.
No food for Paul.
Right. Yeah.
As I said earlier, this we thought this was the Chef of the Future show.
Seriously, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
fabulous.
You.
For
and
someone who my specialty is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Can't even relate to that.
And Fritos.
Yes.
And chocolate milk. And chocolate milk. Yes. That's it.
Congratulations, really.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thank
and
you.
I have to say that the New England chapters, we now have two nominated people. Next year, we just have to win.
That's right.
So we were nominated
several,
last
several.
Year.
Several. Lester was.
Yeah, so we need to bring it over the line,
the year,
right?
Yeah,
we need to bring it over the line.
You can continue with your show now, Dominic.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Can I know?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of that, we're going to take a quick break on this at that point. We'll be back with our professional chefs, our award-winning chefs, coming up in minutes.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a.
I want to be a.
I want to be.
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 When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Attleboro Farmers Market has set up location this year at O'Connell Field in Capron Park, and parking is available at the Attleboro High School Bushy Street lot and all along Blue Pride Way. Enjoy a stroll through the park from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Saturday morning, right straight through until October 24th to find fresh fruits and vegetables at your fingertips. Buy fresh, buy local. For more information, feel free to send an email to attleborofarmersmarket@gmail.com.
All right, we are back with our professional chefs here in studio. We have Chef Lara, we have Chef Laura, Deb, and Norbert all with us this morning, and our professional chefs here as well. All right, you know, talk about this this great conference that you went to a few weeks ago. And you said this quite a number of people are going to this. Now, this is a yearly, an annual event that takes place at a certain city throughout the year, right?
Yep, they do change it every year, to be fair, because, you know, we are nationwide, so it's not fair to always make the California people come east or vice versa,
The you know, you're talking about, I know we were talking about this off the mic a few seconds ago, about, you know, we've been talking about this now for almost a year now, about professional chefs. It's, you know, hopefully it's for someone. It's for somebody. There's a lot of people who want professional chefs. It's not a, quote, a caterer. It's more than that. This is something that, you know, this is your passion. This is something that you live and breathe every single day. Laura, basically, if someone wants a professional chef, what are they looking at? They're looking at, anybody can get this, whether if it's a small dinner party or people who want just, you know, two or three people, or you can hire a professional chef for a huge event, like a big party or a wedding.
Yeah, and, you know, I know myself, and I think most of us do pretty much everything as far as our services are possible, if you would. But, you know, we can do that intimate dinner for two for somebody. If it's an anniversary or just a special occasion, date night, you know, those types of things, you want to make it really special. All the way up to, we've collaborated, Chef Lester as well, you know, have collaborated on parties up to 300 people. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, sort of the realm of where we can go. And the way that we can do that is working together and helping each other. Because as many of you know, we're pretty much single people, single business owners. But we can pull each other in when we need them and do large-scale parties. We can do meals for the week. We can do meals for the month. We can do cooking instruction. You know, if somebody wants a little private lesson in their house, it'd be something that we can go in, talk to them about what they want to learn, and then give them a lesson that's very comfortable, that's in their own kitchen. I'm very hands-on when I do my lessons. I don't know if you guys are too, but it's, you're going to do it. I'm just going to stand here and let you know how to do it. And that way they feel really confident when we leave that they can make whatever it is that we decided. So it's really a realm of services. And Deb, as you had talked about, a lot of people come to us because they have issue. It's gluten-free, allergies, you know, trying to lose weight, trying to eat healthy, or trying to overcome heart issues, trying to, you know, beat diabetes by changing their diet. You know, everything from paleo and Weight Watchers and vegan and, you know, I mean, you name it, we've probably heard it. And people struggle with that, especially if it's something new to them.
Right.
And it's something that we've experienced, we're certainly capable of doing. And, you know, I don't know what you guys have seen in yours, but it seems like there are probably more unique requests than there are. I just need food.
Yeah. Now, Deb, you cook with a little flair as well. I mean, you have a lot of herbs as well. And, you know, dinner time has been around, you said, a little over a year now.
A little over a year.
And the first time we saw you was at the food tasting at the Elks for the Literacy Center this past year.
Coming out.
That's right, exactly. So she had the coming out party, and then she went. Then you took her out to San Antonio on that time. For that. Talk about what dinner time features. You know, some of the specialties in your company.
Okay. Well, I try to really focus on healthy cooking, so it's lighter dishes. It's not a lot of rich, heavy sauces. I do everything based on whole foods, so I'm not, you know, no preservatives, no added chemicals. It's just real whole food. Some of the favorite dishes, I do a miso glazed salmon that gets repeated requests for that. I have a quinoa salad that's a big hit. One of the things I really enjoy doing is introducing people to vegetarian dishes. A lot of people... I'll try it, but, you know, they don't think they're going to be satisfied, and usually once they try it, they continue to order some of those dishes, so it's kind of exciting to introduce people to new things and have them like them.
Now, when we saw each other at the Elks a few months ago, as you said, you had some great items there as well. It seems that, how did some of the people respond back to you as well when they met you, and of course, and some of the stuff that you were dishing out, basically
at the Elks Club? I had made vegetable sushi made with brown rice, and a lot of people were like, oh, you know, I'm not big on sushi. I don't like sushi. As well, there's no raw fish here. It's just the vegetables, and they tried it and they liked it. And some came back for more.
Including me.
You're so pretty. You have a nice artistic flair. Oh, presenting.
Thank you. Yeah, colorful. Yeah, the more colors, the more nutrient dense.
Yeah, as far as people know, you know, presentation is huge. I mean, you know that presentation. If it's not prepared correctly, it's, you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of professional chefs and, you know, and professional caterers, they like to take the pictures of, you know, and then put them up, post it on their websites. The presentation, and if, you know, and I know, you know, when you're looking at food, a lot of times when you see them in print, it's got a nice sheen, it's got a glaze, and, you know, the lighting is perfect, you know, the hand models are there, and of course, but they've never asked us to, like, taste test any of these things, you know.
But, well, you eat with your eyes first, I always say, so... food and wine or anything, the smells, the look, it all prepares your palate for the taste. And so if it looks and smells good, you're already 3/4 of the way to having it taste good. And that's the psychology behind food. That's a really important point when you're serving food to people, is remembering, you know, if it's a gray blob on a dish, that doesn't look appealing. It could taste fabulous, but you have to get it from the plate to your mouth, right? And so you got to make people want to eat it first. And colors are one of the best ways to do that, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like, you know, white fish with a side of rice. It just...
Exactly. Yeah. Add some parsley just to get some color in there, you know?
You know, I mean, I know this is kind of old news that, you know, when we were talking about the Elks, you know, a few months ago, when we were doing the taste testing, a lot of professional chefs and caterers there as well, and restaurants and stuff like that. When Norbert was there, I mean, you had some interesting items back then as well, which people would come back and forth to eat again. I mean, my chef Lara had some great. Well, you had the two sets of meatballs at the last time, right?
We had the competition.
Yeah,
of,
you
the Moroccan meatballs versus the German meatballs.
Mm-hmm. The difference between those, because I had a couple, of, at least two or three of each.
Yeah, the German meatballs, they were mostly beef and pork. And the Moroccan meatballs, they were goat and lamb. So there was a distinct difference. And but with the herbs and with the sauces, they both had a different flavor profile, but they were both very, very, very tasty. Mm-hmm. And we ran out of one sort. And the German meatballs, actually, they edged out the Moroccan meatballs by a little bit. But mostly because people, when they heard goat meat, immediately there was a reaction like, oh, I don't eat goat. But when you said it's a Moroccan meatball, and then they had it, and then they said, wow, this is good, what is it? And then you say, it's goat. Oh, goat? I've never had goat. And it is a lot of perception.
It's like Lara was saying, you eat with your eyes. If you see, you know, and if you don't have something like that, you know, people are not used to that, then you tell them what's actually in there as the ingredients, and like, oh, okay, you know, it's, you know, it's like any other type of food, you know, if you haven't tasted before in a long time or ever, but you gotta try. That's
what I have a rule when I travel is I don't ask first what I'm eating, and then I'll ask after, right? Because you already have, if you know, you have preconceptions, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't know, you're gonna eat for flavor, and then you're gonna be like, oh, that was interesting, or and then you can say, what was in that? Yeah. And then they tell you.
Sometimes surprising things.
Sometimes they tell you surprising things.
Now, this national conference that was held a few weeks ago, did they show, or did they, I mean, you said about the tequila. Did they have any other types of beverages? You know, any other liquor that there was that's
tequila
new coming
and
out
wine.
There?
The
any newer wines that are that are coming out there?
They had focused really on the Texas wines. So it was a local. He was a marketing person, I think, for the vineyard, but he spoke very highly of it and knew, was very knowledgeable about that vineyard and other vineyards in the area. So it was really, I think, to introduce us to Texas wines, because I think short of Texans, nobody knew they existed. They don't ship a lot out. They're not widespread, so it's not something we would see in our local store. So it was really more, I think, education and then the tasting. But, you know, the tasting was fabulous. And now I'm like, I want Texas wine. Figure out how to get it.
Both red, white, and all?
They did both reds and whites, And they had a lot of interesting blends, like grapes that we don't see up here, or I haven't seen a lot of up here in any of the.
What were you surprised on as far as the wines?
Just the fact that they were good, you know? I mean,
they were really good.
Yeah, that they had them, and the variety that they had. And there were different areas, like the wines that we tasted, they were more from the west of Texas, which is drier, more deserty. But then just south of San Antonio is the hill country, which is more lush and, you know, has just a different climate. You know, grew some beautiful grapes and had some really nice wineries as well. So, I think it was just, I don't know about you guys, and I hope I don't offend anyone, but sometimes you go to these little, you know, little micro areas of wine growing and you taste them and you're like, ugh. Don't like that at all. That's not wine. That's not good. That's not coming home with a bottle kind of thing, you know. But then you go to some of the more traditional ones and it's the wines that we're used to and the wines that we're accustomed to. This is an area that, you know, kind of like, all right, Texas wines, what's this going to be about?
Yeah.
And they were really good.
I was always wondering if, you know, a lot of places, including up in this area, they have, you know, all different types of beers. But now, of course, the hard cider is huge, especially. Now, did they cover beers or hard cider down there?
There are local beers down there. There's a lot of breweries. They didn't happen to participate in our conference, but I didn't see any hard cider. Not to say that it doesn't exist,
yeah,
but I didn't
They weren't
see
at the
any.
Conference. Yeah, it was really tequila and wine were
Now the tequila
MT.
Down. Now how's the tequila kind of a little different taste? I mean, because there's all different things like you see it, like you would taste in Mexico.
Yeah, it's amazing that the variety. I never realized how many varieties of tequila there was, and of course you can, you know, there's sommeliers for everything, you know. The tequila was fascinating because of the it went all the way from a bourbon-esque flavor, so kind of a smoky, smooth, darker flavor, all the way to the
clear.
The clear tequilas, uh-huh. right, which have a very different flavor profile. And what I love about the conference is it's not just going to a tasting. They actually teach us about why are those things, what makes it dark and smooth.
How it grows, where it comes from.
Yeah, where it comes from, how it grows. So it's really fascinating. You know, we learn what the different tequila, the different agave plants that are used to make tequila, where they're grown and how they process it to make tequila, and how it is that, you know, you can get a darker tequila versus a lighter tequila and why it tastes different. You know, I'm more of a darker tequila person. I like the bourbon, the smooth bourbon, but not everybody likes that. You know, some people like the lighter tequilas, which are more anisey, you know, a little sharper, a little more alcohol-y, I guess I call them.
Well, it's like the difference between light rum and dark rum, and people have preferences, but it's a very different taste between light and dark rum. It's a similar relationship.
There were like seven different flavors. Oh,
there's thousands of tequilas, but
yeah, at the tasting, I think we had like
it was three classifications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was fascinating because I never knew. I didn't know tequila came in that kind of variety of flavor.
Wow.
I
just assumed a lot of worms in the bottle.
No worms.
They also had a lamb grower. Did anybody go to the lamb class?
I went to that one. Yes.
You did?
He it was a demonstration. They gave a little background on how they raise the lambs, and then there was a demonstration where he deboned it and made it look completely effortless. He made a couple of dishes that looked amazing. One was he butterflied the leg of lamb and stuffed it with preserved tangerine, was it? Oh, you weren't there. Preserved tangerine and a bunch of herbs and a little bit of olive oil, and he wrapped it up, rolled it, and tied it, and he was going to sear it and then finish roasting it, and that looked unbelievable. And then he made some little medallions. But, I mean, just, you know, he just did it with such ease. It was really pretty amazing and looked really good.
Yeah, one of my favorites actually was how they made brisket. And the brisket class that was really awesome.
Of course,
it was awesome. They had
smell too, walking down the hall.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
And I texted other chefs and I said, "Come in here to the brisket class. They have free samples there." So the top chef from that San Antonio area, it's Brian West, and he has a brisket restaurant, and is booked out for weeks. Wow. And he explained how he actually prepares the brisket. It is a process of multiple days. It is a process of slow and long roasting, braising. Mm-hmm. And it is coal fire at the beginning. After that, a little bit of wood. And after that, a little bit of particular wood. And I was thinking about it and I was thinking, wow, this is really amazing. Mm-hmm. How much detail goes into the preparation of one piece of brisket. Mm-hmm. And the taste, actually, he brought one brisket, and then he explained exactly that the brisket has three different areas where the fibers are running in a different direction, and how you have to cut those three different areas in a different way to get the best taste out of that brisket. So the devil is in detail, and he really had it under control.
That's great.
Definitely.
And being in the Texas area, they've got, you know, that not only with the brisket, of course, part of the pulled pork must have been a lot
pulled
of
pork.
Yeah, basically all
same.
That. And all the different
the
places.
Barbecues.
Yeah, that barbecue stuff. I know there's a, I can't think of it. Oh, I know what it is. When my wife went through one of the airports down there, there used to be a place called Dick's. We had got some Dick's barbecue sauce, which they used on the pulled pork sandwiches, which she brought up from Texas when she was down there a couple of months ago, and it was. I said to her, I says it was awesome. I said it was really.
Well, barbecue's a religion down there.
Yeah,
it is.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
Chef Laura had to leave on an appointment, so we want to thank her for coming in this morning. But we do have Chef Deb Norbert and Lara here as well. As we mentioned, coming towards the middle of August. School right around the corner, you know, for some of our youngsters out there. Are there certain things that that you guys have, you know, for back to school specials or whatever that you may think about?
For back to school, it's mostly about time, and then we have. You know, we have people contact us and in the fall and say, you know, the kids are back to school and I'm back to work full time if they're teachers, for example. Or so it becomes about meal replacement programs and how to get food on the table, right, between soccer games and baseball games and whatever, to make sure that everyone has healthy food, you know. And one of the things we really provide as personal chefs is, you know, there's something we've been doing forever that now has a new word to it, and that's called clean eating. And I'm sure people have heard about it. It's been a lot in the media and how to eat cleanly. And what eating cleanly means is, just like Deb said earlier, it's about no preservatives, no processed food, eating what's called whole foods, which means, you know, not put in through any machines or, you know, eating it as it comes from farm to table. And that's really what personal chefs do. That's what we provide for meals. We provide clean eating to our clients to say, these are meals that we have created by hand for you from the supermarket to your table. And really cutting out the whole processed food middleman of not knowing what it is exactly is in your food. I heard a very interesting statistic on a radio show the other day, and it was about 45% of people 45 and under don't buy frozen foods anymore because they don't want the processed food, right? So people are moving away from the processed food to a clean eating to you know, they're buying more like rotisserie chickens from the grocery store because they know what that is and where it's come from. So really, if you want to think about what is a personal chef and what do they do, it's providing that clean eating experience for you. It's home cooked meals that you don't have to cook. So it's really, that's what it's about. So that whole clean eating concept.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, and that's a great way to, you know, to start off with, you know, a professional chef, because you do offer gift certificates as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you said, you do offer cooking classes every once in a while here and there as well. And you had mentioned, both of you mentioned before a few months ago about somebody's hiring you, you make the leftovers very easy for them because you do pack them. I don't know, but you were talking about them recently. You do pack them very nice so they can put them in their refrigerators or their freezers so they can continue to have some of their fresh food again, you know, either the day after or a couple of days later as well.
Yeah. Yes, we package them up so that they are freezer safe and they can go into the freezer and then last there for up to 3 months. Mm-hmm. Actually, we also put reheating instructions on them so that people know how to reheat them after they take them out of the freezer and they thaw them. We had a graduation party not too long ago and there were a lot of students there. And believe me, they wanted to have that food packaged up.
Of course they did.
And there was a struggle going on. Don't eat so much here. I want to take more home. Right. But that was fun. Yes.
I know that. You know, when you now, the other thing is I wanted to get to quickly too is since we're getting into the pretty soon, another month or so, we're getting into the fall season. Are you guys going to be starting up over in Rehoboth again? Are you doing that dinner theater, the mystery things over at
Yes, in November.
November.
In November. We will try to get one done in November after the getting married season is over. Mm-hmm. And but then the Rehoboth area is open up again. And maybe we also have one venue in Newport, which we are exploring that right now. And that is also one of the things we are trying to do there.
Now, you also, are you, is it still the season? You're still doing the knife classes,
yeah.
The knife sharpening classes on Hope Street in Providence?
Yes, absolutely. That is a monthly event, which we have.
Usually on a Tuesday, right?
On a Tuesday evening, mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
That's also available on the website. So if you go to our website, there's a link.
It's the third Tuesday of the month, right?
Yep.
Third Tuesday of the month. And we show how to use the knife, well, how is it safe, how to maintain a knife, how to sharpen a knife, how to have your work area prepared. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, all those fancy cuts you know about, but you never tried at home, and you shouldn't try mm-hmm. at home until you know how to handle the mm-hmm. knife, because it is a weapon,
sure.
And safety is number one. But we always had fun, and we limit the classes to 10 people. They are only $10 to get there. And that is for 2 hours, 3 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on what we are cutting. Mm-hmm. But that is a very, very informal and informational piece of teaching. Yes, I like it.
And since also we're getting, you know, still in the summertime season, it's still very much grilling season. People are still going, you know, every single day. Well, you know, I'll grill on my deck 12 months a year, you know, because mm-hmm. it's right there. And I know it's very safe. You have to put, you know, make sure everything is safe and secure mm-hmm. and this and that, you know, so many feet away from the home or wherever it's supposed to be. Especially now, you know, everybody's out there. You see them all the time. A lot of misconceptions, you know, how to make sure that your propane tank is filled correctly and this and that. But I think the most thing is as we talked about grilling, you mentioned this last time we were here, grilling is you need to be aware as far as the temperature inside your meat, whatever you're cooking, whether it be pork, sausages, burgers, well, not as much burgers, you can see them, but any types of meats that are maybe a thick cut, whether you're doing inside or especially inside, outside on your grill.
Yeah, the biggest mistake people make when they're grilling is you need to take it a little slower, right? Yeah. Lower heat and slower. People will crank up their grill and then put meat on the grill, and you're going to char the outside and not cook the inside. So you know, grab a beer, relax, put the flame down, or if you're using charcoal, let it get white, right? Mm-hmm. Let the charcoal get white, and take a little bit more time to cook your meat, especially the thick cuts. You have to think, if you think logically about it, you have to get that heat all the way to the middle, and that takes time. So you can't burn the outside mm-hmm. waiting for the middle to get cooked. Right. So, you know, medium heat, not high heat. You know, for you at high to obviously turn, you know, get it warm, but then turn that heat down when you're putting meat on the grill.
Yeah, I actually, it was last week, one of the nights that it was bad weather, I was outside, I wasn't grilling outside, but my wife had bought, I think it was a pork loin or whatever. It was a big, huge thing with it. It was already had the spices in it, and I had the meat thermometer and put it right at the thickest section of the meat. I think it was 165 or around
for pork
165, 170, and I had taken it out after the initial time, and it was just about there, and I said, nope, another 10 or 15 minutes. About 15, 16 minutes later, it was just at the time it was supposed to. So I took it out, and it was perfect, and it was so juicy and yeah. Boy, I tell you, and you would, you know, one of those pieces of meat that you would cut it so you could put it in a sandwich if you want, but we just cut mm-hmm. it lengthwise like that. And boy, I tell you, and the funny thing, Carol and myself were saying, this is something from my chef Laura. We remembered something. You know, especially with that and the cutting of the meats, the tomatoes, using the serrated knives, stuff like that. Boy, I tell you, you can't go wrong with My Chef Laura, dinner time, with Home Plate Advantage. You cannot go wrong if you follow the instructions perfectly. You are going to have an awesome meal, and
absolutely.
You're going to have an awesome experience if you do it, and especially if you hire you guys as well. Deb, you, as you said, some other things. We got a few more minutes. We got 5 more minutes left here. When you get together with these guys here, mm-hmm. and when you've come together, especially in San Antonio last month, you take time to relax as well. You got to take time to relax. It's not all fun and games. I mean, it's all fun and games, but you have to learn something. Did you bring anything from the conference to dinner time? You know, as far as not just recipes, but something that you remember hearing, you know, an instructor saying, like, you were doing it, but hey, this might be a little much better that I, you know, that I could do in the future.
That's an interesting question. And to be honest with you, I've been so busy since I've gotten back. One of the things I really want to do is sit down and kind of type up my notes and all the mm-hmm. ideas that I did get, because I did get so many ideas and so much information. I can't say that I've implemented anything mm-hmm. yet, but I definitely do plan to. But one of the things I wanted to mention, going back to, you know, what does a personal chef do? I think yeah. one of the misconceptions is a lot of people think we're kind of like Alice Brady on the Brady Bunch, you know, that we live and work for one family. And, you know, that's not the case. We can tailor a package to what the client needs. So like Norbert and Laura said, you know, we might cook for somebody once a week. We might cook for somebody once a month. And just getting back to the going back to school, I do have a couple clients that when I do cook for them, they want me to make really large portions. So there are some leftovers for the kids for lunch to help with the lunch packing for back to school. Mm-hmm. So we really, you know, we tailor to what the client needs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you bring into, you know, from this conference, I know Laura, you mentioned this, that, you know, there's a little bit of everything out there. There's a lot of chefs. How many chefs actually have to, you know, go through this and teach the, you know, teach everything going in there? Like, you know, you've got so many people there, but you had a lot of instructors as mm-hmm. well, right?
Yeah, the instructors are, some of them are personal chefs from the area, and other ones are experts, like chefs from local restaurants who are, like Norbert said about the brisket, right? Mm-hmm. So people who are very, are an expert at one particular thing, so they can teach us that technique, right? And we can bring that back to our cooking. So, you know, we'll be doing the same thing in Providence. We'll be looking for professionals and experts in particular cuisines or particular styles, so that every time we go to a conference, we can actually bring back that information, that knowledge, to our clients and serve them better from that perspective.
But it is also about tools we are using, mm-hmm. like the knives. There are vendors there who have particular knives. They explain how to use it. Or there was a vendor there for a Vitamix,
okay.
and they explained how to use that one. Or there were a vendor from the bees, the honeys. Mm. And there will be also, and then you know, or the spices. We had one vendor table for spices. And all of those things are also happening here in Providence. And we are also using this opportunity to get the word out. If there are vendors out there who want to be part of that conference, we have vendor tables available for them so that they can be there and then promote their products to 150 personal chefs across the U.S., right?
All right, we're wrapping things up quickly again. So we want to thank Norbert. We have Deb and Lara, and Laura was here. Before we leave, before we take off here in the next minute or so, I want to congratulate Chef Lara for recently getting married.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, when did the big happy day occur?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday, yes. And she's back with us today.
I am.
This is her
that
honeymoon.
Is dedication.
Without your hubby, he's you're without your hubby here. But congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad everything is. This was really nice to have you back here, and congratulations again.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Anyway, we will see you all again next month, hopefully.
Yes, and don't forget the recipes that we talked about today are available at www.mychef.laura.com. So feel free to go out there, click the link on the homepage, and you'll get those wonderful recipes.
Sounds good. All right, Laura, Norbert, and Deb, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dominic.
All right, Paul Healy is up next here on AM 1320. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Have a great day.